Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Peyton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, you ready for this?
I am. Very excited.
All right. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, calling in from Thomasville, Georgia, Dr. Simone Josie. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm awesome, Stone Lee. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, Dr. Simone, why don't we kick it off by you sharing a little bit about your practice? How are you helping folks?
All right. Well, I am Dr. Simone, and I am an author in the field of medical as well as corporate customer service skills. I'm also a mother, a wife, an entrepreneur. I am a foot and ankle doctor, and I'm a success enthusiast. And what that basically means is that I love setting and achieving goals in life. So whether it is helping someone with their professional development and how to be the best employee or the best leader in a company or a best business owner, then I'm there. Whether it is someone who has financial goals or personal development goals, I'm there. So my goal is to help other people set and achieve goals successfully in life. And really what I've found is that regardless of what your goal is, there are some ground principles and there are some pearls and tips that are applicable to all aspects. So what I do outside of treating patients, my love and my passion is speaking. I've been speaking professionally now for over a decade. I have a speaking company, Dr. Simone International, and I travel around the country, around the world, just empowering others to live on purpose. So that's pretty much what I do in a nutshell outside of treating patients.
Now, you mentioned customer satisfaction, customer service. How you don't usually equate that with doctors. Can you share a little bit about that? How can doctors be better at that?
You know, and it's funny because I was actually just in speaking to the Georgia Podiatric Medical Association, and this was one of the topics I lectured on, because unfortunately, doctors, we do get a bad rep, you know, as not being able to spend, you know, bedside manner issues. And from my perspective, you know, I think that as doctors, we have to treat the entire patient. And so at my patients as, yes, persons with medical conditions that I am going to manage, I also look at them as customers. They're our clients. So a few weeks ago, I came up with an infographic that's available on my website. And it basically has just 5 steps on how you can deal with patients. Now, when it comes to customer service, when it comes to patient satisfaction, it really depends, or it really becomes important when there's a problem. You know, I can see a patient 100 times and we have no issues and they say, oh, I love you, you know, Dr. Simone, you're great. And they might tell their mother, they might tell their grandmother, but if they have a problem, they're going to tell everyone. And so I said, customer service or patient satisfaction becomes extremely important when someone is upset. So there are 5 steps that I usually train my staff on, as well as what I try and do in my practice. And the first thing is you have to listen. Now, we don't have ample time, you know, when we're treating patients to listen for hours and hours on end. But sometimes just hearing the patient out for 1 to 2 minutes can really make a difference. I know that, you know, when I'm upset, the worst thing is when someone cuts me off and I feel as though I'm not able to fully express my concern and my issues. So the first thing you want to do is listen. Listen to your patient or listen to your customer. And then the second thing is you want to identify, not so much acknowledge or agree with their issue. You know, you don't want to give them ammunition like, oh yeah, Dr. Josie, she's always running late, or, you know, and all the patients. No, you don't want to do that, but you do want to identify and acknowledge, like, I understand that you are frustrated, versus saying, I understand your frustration. So it's a slight difference in semantics, but it really makes a difference in perception. So listen and then identify the patient concerns. And then as soon as possible, you want to redirect the conversation. So discuss solutions. And it can be something as simple as saying, you know what, at the next staff meeting, I'm going to make sure that I discuss this with my team. I tell people to do it. We can't fix everything in, you know, the 15-20 minute slots. We can't. But what I can do is say, look, I'm going to take it back to my team and I'm going to find out if there's a way we can come up with a good solution so that in the future, you don't have to deal with this problem or other patients don't have to deal with this problem. And then, of course, you know, if you've ever tried to change your cell phone provider, or if you've ever tried to change your cable service provider, you know that when you call in with a complaint, they are going to have some kind of incentive, something to entice you to continue to come back. And usually what happens is you leave with a longer contract and you have all these other bonus things that in a year, they're going to cost you more money. But in that moment, they make you feel good. They make you feel as though you're valued as a customer. You're valued as someone who does business with that provider. So what I like to say is have something to entice the patient, entice the customers to keep coming back. And you want it to be exclusive. So, you know, in most offices, we have, you know, free sample kits of creams and lotions that are available for anyone to pick up. That's not what you want to provide. You want to provide that disgruntled patient or that disgruntled customer with something that is exclusive. Now, exclusive doesn't mean that it's only one for that person at that specific time. It can be just a collection of items like an office mug that has your logo on it, that's filled with candy that you keep in the back that nobody sees. But when you have someone who's disgruntled, then you provide it to them. And then the last thing that I think is very important, anytime you have a strategy, anytime you have a protocol, is you want to plan, do, review. So take notes, have your staff take notes. If you have a customer service representative or specialist in your practice or in your office, have them take notes of the common issues or common complaints and how they're resolved. And then, of course, you can review and make things better over time. So those are the five steps that I usually use when I'm dealing with patient satisfaction. And it works whether you're dealing in the medical field or just corporate America at large.
Now, in the medical field and in all businesses, you have a couple different constituencies that are important. One you mentioned is patients or clients, but another is your staff. Do these strategies work as well with the staff?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that's the beauty of the five steps, because we're dealing with people. And I know that when I was in school, I have, you know, excellent training, surgical training, excellent didactic training. However, one thing we did not learn was bedside manner, interpersonal skills. And a lot of times, you know, just because you're in a leadership position does not necessarily mean that you've been taught or you know actual interpersonal and leadership skills and techniques. So the beauty of this, you know, the five steps is that it can be used across the board, definitely.
Now, when you're working with a new client, how open are they to having this kind of a conversation where you're kind of telling them maybe that they're doing things not right and that maybe they should change?
Well, there's a range, there's a gradient. Some people are extremely warm and receptive because, you know, they want help. They know there's an issue. It's, you know, and then others are a little less receptive. But once again, that goes back to not pointing fingers, not so much blaming and, you know, saying you're doing this wrong. But my goal anytime I'm dealing with new clients is to let them know that it's not so much that I'm going to try and convince you that what you're doing is wrong. It's more to show you that there's a better way and that I can show you that, you know, that there are better ways to handle things. So, you know, I don't go in pointing fingers and playing the blame game because, you know, most doctors sometimes, you know, they believe they're doing everything right, but I wouldn't be there if there were a problem. So I like to just identify that and say, hey, let's work together as a team. I'm not here to point fingers, but we can always strive to be better. And that's what I'm there for.
Now, is there a symptom that maybe medical practice or a business is having where that they may want to look at their customer service? Maybe it isn't up to par.
Well, it kind of goes across. I mean, for doctors, one thing is, you know, payment coverage, insurance, what's not covered, what is covered, and also just, you know, wait times. There is an article by Dr. Alan Detsky that came out in 2011, and it actually spoke about a survey he did over some time, and it showed that there are three things that patients really value. Now, of course, I think the list was like 10 plus, you know, so of course there's a gradient, a hierarchy. But the first thing is that, you know, patients want good medicine. They want to get better when they're sick. The second thing is that they want to get better now, right? We live in a microwave society. People want efficiency. They want to know that they can get better with the click of a button, with, you know, some magic pill, which isn't always possible, but definitely wait times. You know, they want efficiency. And then they want kindness in their healthcare providers. They want their doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners to be kind. So those three things I know are common complaints of patients. And so the good medicine part, you know, that's on the shoulders of the doctor, of the nurse practitioner, of the MA. You know, you have to know your stuff. You have to stay on top of your medical education. When it comes to efficiency, then that's where I come in, you know. And like I said, I trained in Atlanta this weekend and talked about ways to move through patients quickly without compromising your excellence and without compromising bedside manner. And then, of course, the aspect of kindness is important. And a lot of that comes with excellence and recognizing that we're treating the whole individual. Even though my specific specialty is foot and ankle issues, the foot is still connected to the rest of the body, you know, so I try and treat the entire patient. And so we have to look at a patient perspective or a customer perspective, what's important to them, not so much just our ton of what would be important to us, but we have to look through the lens of the patient.
Now, when you're working with these clients and you're delving into the customer satisfaction or patient satisfaction, are you also looking kind of holistically at the whole environment or the culture of the organization?
Most definitely, most definitely. The truth of the matter is that as leaders, as doctors, as, you know, managers, we're only as good as our team. We're only as good as our team. I'll tell you a story as far as just perception and perspective. You know, I like to stress the fact that people are going to behave, or your staff, your team, your colleagues are going to behave how you expect them to. So we dictate to people how we expect for them to behave. So they'll either rise to the occasion or they'll fall to whatever level you have them, you know, as far as perception. And I'll tell you a story. So I was with this big mega practice and, you know, awesome. I was an associate. We had 3 different locations, 5 different doctors. It was a multi-million dollar, you know, practice. And I had all the resources at my fingertips. And so when I first started, of course, I was the low man on the totem pole. And there was a medical assistant. I'm going to call her Susan to protect identities. But when I first went in, no one wanted to work with Susan. And on the first day that I got there, the expectation was that Susan was not able to understand the new electronic health record. And she wasn't able to get on the computer. She wasn't able to thrive in that kind of setting because prior to that, it had been a paper chart practice. However, I didn't know all that when I first came in. I didn't know. So my expectation was what I have of everyone else I've worked with in the past, that, you know, anyone can learn if they have passion and drive and desire, you know, barring any physical setback or handicap, anyone can truly learn. It might not be as fast as others, but my expectation was that if I have a high expectation for you to do well and for you to grasp this and for you to work alongside me and work efficiently and with excellence, then you can do the job well. So of course, the low man on the totem pole, I get Susan as my medical assistant. Well, I realized that, yes, she wasn't very well knowledge on the use of the electronic health records. And she didn't know everything and she was a bit slower. But what I did was I expected for her to grasp it. So I would tell her once, I would tell her twice, I would tell her 3 times, and she would then come in and watch me do it. She would mirror my actions. And long story short, over time, she became one of the top medical assistants in the practice. And she was then being requested by the other doctors who were there before. And they would say, oh, well, you know, it might have been a fluke. It might just be that, you know, you and she work well together and you had a really good rapport. And we did, because I truly believe in, yes, there's a hierarchy in the practice as far as, you know, the doctor and so forth, and then the nurse and the medical assistants. But at the same time, I am only as good as my team. I am only as good as the person who is standing beside me and working beside me. And I can only treat my patients as well as the person who is at my right hand. So, you know, fast forward, there were other practices that I've been to and the same thing. And I've worked with older medical assistants and nurses, younger, all races, men, women. It doesn't matter. If you have a high expectation and you go in there believing and giving the perception to your staff, to your team, that I know that you can do this, then you can make a difference. And of course, there's a caveat. You know, there are some cases where, you know, you just can't reconcile. But for the most part, I've noticed that whether it's in my personal experience or even with other clients and their practices, the expectation, sometimes we need to raise it, raise the bar versus just saying, oh, they never take the x-rays properly. They never call the patients back properly. The room is never cleaned properly. And that plays over in someone's head and it becomes their truth. It becomes their reality. And so they begin to perform at the level where you place them. So the office environment is extremely important. And so I do tend to start with definitely surveying the office, see what's going on. But then I go to the leadership and say, okay, what can we do better to enfranchise and empower our team? Because it really starts there.
That's right. Raise expectations. People will surprise you.
Yep.
So now, if somebody wanted to have a more meaningful conversation with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I'm on pretty much all social media. Instagram, at Dr. Simone Says, that's Dr. Simon with an E, Says. And also on Facebook, Dr. Simone Josie, I have a Facebook page. You can also email me at esteem.speaking@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at Dr. Simone Says. So I'm pretty much available all around. I also have a website that you can reach out to me. All of my social media platforms are there, and that's drsimonesays.com. So Dr. Dr. Simone with an E, says.com. So pretty much I'm available. I answer to texts and emails. I'm on Facebook Live. I'm everywhere. So I'm available.
Well, Dr. Simone, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show this afternoon. One more quick question before we wrap and we let you go. This idea of deja vu to deja DOI, what's that about?
Oh, deja vu, deja do.
Oh, deja do. Well, okay.
Yeah. So pretty much we, you know, the concept of deja vu is just seeing the same thing over and over and over. And we want to change. My goal is to help change the deja vu, change the rhetoric in, you know, private practices or group practices in the hospital setting or even in corporate America, because workplace productivity is extremely important. And sometimes we just need to change things up for our staff, and we need to empower them and kind of give them a jolt. You know, sometimes motivation can help people and inspiration can help people. So pretty much what that is just a lecture that I present. It's very, you know, high power energy, you know, energetic presentation to change the deja vu of the everyday humdrum workplace environment to a more deja do, a more productive environment.
Well, I love it. And I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. No problem. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I really do.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.